Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
Hello, world. It's John Pollock and Waiting. And if you are a member of the Post Wrestling Cafe, man, you're all up to date. You've got all the answers that the world has asked.
You probably have more questions than answers at this point.
Me myself?
I'm saying if the entire wrestling world.
Oh, they might. They're a very inquisitive bunch. Yes, weighing in on one John Pollock today. So we have about a half hour worth of news if you join the Post Wrestling Cafe, going through the whole weekend fallout. What stood out? What are our lessons from this particular weekend? What's going on with Seth Rollins, a topic that Way believes that come the end of the year, he'll still be thinking about.
Well, let me just say, if what we saw this past weekend on the effort of the WWE's was more of a sort of attention war, I think their biggest bullet was whatever this Seth Rollins thing was, because I think a lot more conversation about that than Goldberg or Evolution. I think certainly gaining a good amount of attention as well. But if they wanted to get people talking about something that they did instead of All In, this Rollins injury was one of those things.
Do you think it would have been as talked about if it just went down that night and everyone just assumed it was an injury?
You know what? Maybe not. I think you actually are responsible for WWE winning this attention war.
I was told. I mean, I don't know what people expect out of me to pretend that I did not have awareness of this before.
No one's expecting that.
Unless I was in touch with an oracle. Maybe that's what who could see the future. Which I was not, okay? All right, well, we have big news. It's the G1 season. It kicks off this weekend. That means it's time for the annual Post Wrestling G1 contest, postwrestling.com/G1. Now, you are going to have to go through a very quick play-in round, okay? You've got to run through the gauntlet and get your picks in by Thursday at midnight. It's free to enter. Again, postwrestling.com/G1, and then you will be part of the ride for the next month as we will be keeping tabs on all of your picks. You got to make picks for all of the tournament matches, who's coming out of this thing as the winner. So this is always a fun contest each year, and we will be doing updates throughout all of our podcasts covering every single tournament match over the next month. And our coverage actually kicks off Thursday because Bruce Lord and I are going to get together for a free show with a whole preview of the G1. That will be dropping on Thursday. And then the first G1 podcast will be released Sunday with Karen Peterson and Bruce Lord going through the first two nights, which have 20 matches between them on night one and night two. And then you'll be getting the whole Post Wrestling team coming together for various shows over the next month. Myself, Wei Ting, Eric Marcoche, W.H. Park, the whole
Karen Peterson, Kate from Montreal.
That is right. We have a loaded roster, as usual, that are ready to tackle the G1 over the next month.
Yeah, I just submitted my ballot today in the pool, and I'm so really cold on current New Japan, and I'm so short on time to actually think about it.
Oh,
I'm
basically you might be the favorite.
I'm randomizing this year, and if blindly choosing, right? And if past indicators are anything to go by, I think I'm going to do fairly decently.
Okay, I love it. So
I encourage you to do that too, even if you haven't, you don't have all the time to like study and think about every scenario. Just like make a random ballot, just enter. It's completely for free and adds a whole lot of fun to the experience.
Okay, so again, postwrestling.com/G1 to enter. Also, we want to make mention that this Thursday we're doing our Ask Away mailbag show, and we are calling on your questions, which you can submit in the Ask Away mailbag thread at forum.postwrestling.com. Anyone can submit questions, and we will get to all of them on Thursday's show. As well, memo.fm/postwrestling. It's a free way to send an audio question that we can also accept your questions. So forum.postwrestling.com, memo.fm/postwrestling. We have a ton of shows coming up this week. We won't get into all of them, but we will have a Superman review on DCU later with Rich Fan and WH Park that I will be listening to. I'm getting a sneak preview of the podcast when I meet up with WH Park for Vietnamese coffee on Tuesday morning.
Is that right?
Yes.
I know the place. It's great. I actually took you there once. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's that same place. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're more than welcome to come, but I feel you've...
No. You're a busy man. I needed an invite directly. If I didn't get it, then forget it. Okay. I know I'm not wanted.
I don't want this to get tense. Meanwhile, you can't come because Way is getting ready for the biggest show we present every month. It's the Wellness Policy on Tuesday. And I understand you guys are going to be covering the Players Tribune.
Yeah, we'll be talking about the past week's two contributions from the Players Tribune in professional wrestling, and that being the Charlotte article, which by this point it feels like the entire world has read because listen to that reaction she received in Atlanta, and also of course the Mark Briscoe or the Briscoe brothers 2-in-1 documentary that Players Tribune released in conjunction with AEW. We've already kind of spoken about some of these in our news discussions in the XL editions, but I'm looking forward to maybe more of a discussion on the themes themselves and some of the things that we can maybe pick up from them. In particular, I'm curious to hear about Jordan Goodman's thoughts on the Briscoe documentary, seeing as how he knew the both of them and knew Jay and knows Mark. So I'm kind of curious to hear what he thinks. And I'm also curious to see from, you know, his own background working in the psychology field, what he's able to discuss coming out of it.
It sounds like a great show. I always enjoy the Wellness Policy. So the whole schedule for this week, it's a real packed one, is up at postwrestling.com. We're going to be doing a bunch of cafe shows this weekend on the G1, TNA, UFC. So catch out all of that. And of course, you can join us live with the XL edition of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Go XL, postwrestlingcafe.com. And if you sign up... if you sign up this week, it will carry you through to the end of the G1. Time it out. The G1 goes until August 17th. So if you sign up, it will give you the 30 days access if you sign up later this week. So there you have it. $6 and you get the whole G1 right there. Plus so much more. Tonight, Raw was in Birmingham, Alabama, the surgeon capital of the world, with Mayor James Andrews and Jeffrey Dugas. And
yeah, they were at the... Is Birmingham, Alabama the new... medical facility, like what do they call it?
Local medical facility. Yes,
it's now Birmingham, become a Alabama. In-universe term.
Yes, this is where
for serious injury.
Paul Levesque was extending his quad to the sound of U2.
Yes, legendary. Mm-hmm.
The Legacy Arena, 10,091 tickets out per WrestleTix, and we started off with a recap of the weekend, and then we get the intros, including the Seth-less riders, as Paul Heyman entered with Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, and Heyman clutching the Money in the Bank briefcase. So the briefcase is present, but Rollins was not. So, and they stated later, we will get a health update on Seth Rollins from Paul Heyman. And what an update Paul Heyman would provide us, Dr. Heyman. New women's champion Naomi begins the show a complete babyface to this crowd, and she is trying her best to shut it down. This crowd was like, no, we're completely behind this woman. And she said, all of you thought I'd cash in on Tiffany Stratton, but no one knows my next move except me. I'm done with the foolishness on SmackDown. I love that it took her the end of the three-hour era to leave over the foolishness of SmackDown. I mean, now it's smooth sailing.
She really missed that two-hour plus.
Like, I want my Friday nights back. I work Mondays. So she says, Bianca, I didn't betray you. I outgrew you. And Belair and Jade wanted me to be a friend, a flunky, a third wheel. But who has the upper hand now, bitches? And with that comes Rhea Ripley, who's pissed. She says, I'm not cautious. I'm reckless, and I'm pissed. I went into Evolution with two goals, beating Io Sky for the first time outside of that live event in December of 2019 and winning my title back, and you prevented me from accomplishing either of them. So, you just made the list.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She added her to my list.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
This felt like a
your list. Direct
borrowing. Io is out next. She gets a big chant. We pretty much had like three big baby faces here among them.
Well, I mean, I think that was more of an indicator of just like, I mean, in the case of Io and Rhea, they actually are both baby faces. But in the case of Naomi, there's just like this sort of real world sort of reference I think people have for her, seeing how much she's waited for this, all she's been through to get to this point. So, I mean, I anticipate it to just be maybe more of a one night only type of reaction.
Io explains, with respect to Rhea, get in line. And she says she's come to get her title back from Naomi. And Naomi says, I don't understand what you said, foreigner.
Yeah, I mean, this got a laugh. I didn't love this, John. You know, I feel like this is like something that you could like expect from like a late 90s type of like professional wrestling presentation in 2025, and with as good and clear English as Io has, you know, gotten to. I thought this was totally unnecessary.
Well, Adam Pearce comes out. He welcomes Naomi to Raw, congratulates her on her big win, and called their match magic. Last night, and SummerSlam needs to be bigger than ever this year because it's two nights. I mean, by definition, it's bigger than ever. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah.
And they need to bring the magic to SummerSlam with a three-way match, and everyone's down for it. So now we get into the rushed lineup for SummerSlam, and that was all about tonight. And
how many weeks are we away?
We got 3 weeks away.
Wow.
Got two more Raws, and then it's SummerSlam.
To announce a two-night event.
Two-night event. Though they've got like fair amount already after you know, just tonight, and you know, Cena and Cody already set up.
Yeah, the I didn't understand you line aside, I actually thought this was a great new title win promo from Naomi. I think, you know, we've seen her hold the title before during her glow days, of course, but I think now she holds that championship with a whole new renewed character, first of all, but I would also say like competence at this and incredible confidence as well in just kind of like knowing how to do this professional wrestling thing. You know, it doesn't feel like she's just grateful to be here. It feels like she feels she's deserving of this spot and has had to wait for it for a long time. I think since she's returned in and out of the ring, she's really shown that she's been a very good performer for a long time now, and crowd showed her that respect. I thought it came through in this championship promo as well. So great treatment, I would say, also of Rhea versus Io from the night before as this like legendary match you should have seen if you did not. I think they're great at promoting like these big matches afterwards to feel even bigger than they actually were.
Yeah, I think that's always been a complaint I have, and this is sometimes across the board. It's just so like the big show is done and then it's boom, we're on to the next one. I think there is something to say, and they should absolutely do this. Like Wednesday, they should treat it as this historic show. And if you miss this, you missed a giant event. Like you do have to kind of create that FOMO for your audience that did not watch it and make them, you know, want to go back and see what they missed. Judgment Day is in the back. Balor's holding all the belts. Balor's so good in this role as the guy that is just stirring the pot. Dom says that AJ Styles is stalking him, and Balor says that Raquel and Roxanne need all of their support, and we get Raquel, who is now slowly warming up to Perez after their title defense on Sunday. Balor suggests that Dom corners them tonight when they face the Kabuki Warriors, and to make sure, this was weird, Dom is like, why? And Balor said to make sure that the tag titles stay here for Liv, but the tag titles were not on the line in the next match.
I guess to make sure that they don't beat them to earn a title shot. Can we assume that?
We can't even let the door be open slightly. So as Dom leaves, Balor just smirks, looking at Liv's photo, and says, yeah, for Liv.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of this is being told, I think, really well. It's not like it's all really obvious where it's going, but I mean, it's professional wrestling, so I think in many ways it should be obvious. And I think
Finn versus Liv at Mania next year. That's where
exactly.
I want it to go.
Yeah, the first ever intergender match. No, but it's like you can kind of like anticipate the beats, but it's the anticipation that I think they're trying to build, and they're going at it at a really great pace, so that by the time you do get Liv finally showing back up and Dom having to make that decision and Raquel having to make that decision, it's going to feel great.
Yeah, that's like it's why the Blake Monroe turn worked so well on Jordan Grace. It's I've been waiting for that for a week, and it was a huge payoff.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Non-title bout, as I mentioned, Raquel and Roxanne against the Kabuki Warriors. They had the heat on Sane early on, and they continue to beat on her through the break until Asuka's tag. Asuka was great in this match. She comes in, Shining Wizard, her strikes are on cue. She holds her in place for the insane elbow, but Dom, who got booed by the crowd, is on the apron, distracting. And Raquel yanks Sane to the floor, sending her into the barricade. Asuka runs Raquel into the post. Dom tries to get involved again and takes a spinning back fist from Asuka for the pop, but it allows Perez to roll up Asuka with Raquel using her foot for leverage as Perez pins Asuka. This was the exact same finish they did for Solo and Jimmy Uso on the weekend, with Tala Tonga helping after the roll-up spot with the
foot. That's a completely different show, John. Like, it's a different brand, yeah. All right? They're completely not connected. I don't think anybody would.
But that was Saturday. Isn't that all worlds come together? So yeah. 10 minutes, 22 seconds, and yeah, the champions win here. So didn't really create much of a challenge for them, but maybe that's the role of these tag titles, is it's like WWE's strategy. Let's get rid of everyone. We don't need any competition.
Well, you know, there's another path to earning a championship match if you're in a tag team in the women's division, John. And I think they go into the
walking into Adam Pearce's office and stating, "Hey, we're going to team up. You've got a title shot."
You know, they were number one contenders as of Sunday. Now they go to the back of the line where they're number two contenders for the
The back of the line is not a detrimental in this division.
Well, something tells me that Maxine and Natalya still likely aren't getting a title opportunity despite all this.
No, and they did not make it to the end of the Battle Royal together to have that conflict resolve. Jackie Redmond is with Heyman, Breaker, and Reed. And Jackie Redmond asks Heyman for an update on Seth Rollins, and his answer is, it's too soon. He has until June to cash in. Until then, his health is not a concern. So tonight, Braun will run the gauntlet, he will go to SummerSlam, and he will defeat Gunther. And that was our health update on Seth Rollins.
Yeah. You know, I was expecting like an MRI. I was expecting like, you know, x-rays or like, you know, visit to...
How long does it take to get a diagnosis from a surgeon in Birmingham?
I have to think that we might see something on socials, perhaps, you know, maybe social media. Okay. Look for that.
Okay. There's footage of The Miz and George Kittle at the American Century Championship in Lake Tahoe, where Miz shoves Kittle. Kittle lays him out with a running boot, and the announcers just cackle over how stupid this looked, and I cannot blame them one bit.
Yeah, I think this sort of thing like often works at these sort of like non-wrestling places, but a golf course is maybe the last place you would want to have, you know, a wrestling thing. And not because like the people there might not enjoy it, but because there's no reaction. And this almost felt like a Thunderdome era thing where like it's kind of weird to see wrestling with like a...
Yeah, look at everyone going wild in the back at this.
Yeah, it's like it, like people just aren't used to like laughing or even hollering, I guess, at these events. But yeah, they love this mainstream stuff, don't they?
This was his mainstream.
When are we going to get the George Kittle, Logan Paul match?
Yeah. Kittle me this. I can't wait. Maybe that'll be Mania next year with Mr. Beast. Jackie is with Lyra Valkyria. She's this is so funny. She asks her about facing Bayley next in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And Lyra's answer is, I'm so sick of being asked about Bayley. I'm like, it's your opponent coming up. Like, what did you think this interview was going to be about? Like, hey, how's the weather? So Bayley walks in, says, you want this title shot. I need this title shot. So stay the hell out of my way, which is going to be really hard when we've got 3 falls scheduled. Like, how can I navigate you in a one-on-one match? I just had a few follow-up questions to all of this.
Yeah. Great question. Sure. Yeah.
But thankfully, the promo is not what people are going to be talking about. Instead, it was this 2 out of 3 falls match between them. Michael Cole, stats himself. This is the 15th 2 out of 3 falls match in the history of Raw and the first since Sami Zayn and Braun Breaker last year.
All right.
15. Tells me this has not been a winning concept for live cable programming on a weekly basis. Done 15 of these in 32 years.
I mean, I guess it's unusual. It can work.
How many of those best of 3 falls were all done during that era that Vince had to wouldn't allow wrestling to go through the commercial breaks? That was probably where 13 of them occurred.
Probably, yeah. At least
what a weird period that really was. Cole states that this was a weird stat. Cole says Bayley has not won a match since leaving WWE due to injuries. So the WrestleMania attack angle. It's like, she just wrestled for the belt last night. She's now in a match to get another title match. And you're telling me she hasn't won a match during this whole period? Lyra's got a point.
Did we not just have this conversation?
Corey's reaction was great. Corey couldn't even believe this. He's like, I'm stunned by that.
Did we not just have this conversation about the tag team division? Okay, and the path to those championships? All you have to do is just ask.
Yeah. The crowd is they're chanting for both. Bayley is patted on the head, so Bayley responds and slaps her in the face and rolls up Lyra for the quick first fall. Second fall, they go through a commercial break, and Lyra's hitting all these big kicks, hits a shotgun dropkick, tornado DDT, and then Lyra sells the hell out of this Irish whip into the corner, where she reacts like her spine severed in half. And Bayley works on the back. Cole says, tonight we're going to learn about Lyra's grit. And after a suplex to Lyra on the edge, she's trash-talking her, goes for La Magistral cradle. It's blocked, and Lyra cradles her to even it up at one apiece as we go into the final fall. Bayley to belly is blocked, and as Lyra climbs up for the leg drop off the top, Bayley catches her in the air for a Bayley to belly for a near fall. And then Lyra comes back with a doctor bomb that this was a... she put everything.
That was Nightwing.
Yeah, that's right. Because Michael Cole called it the Nightwing. Corey just politely mentioned, oh, that gut-wrench sit-out powerbomb. And then Cole is like, yeah, but if she had maneuvered her onto her shoulders and done something completely different, it would have been the Nightwing. And Corey's like, exactly. Dude, what happened? Cole had a rough, like, 24 hours, I'll just say.
Yeah, you see, if she just was born with a completely different name, she would be Candice Michelle.
Candice Michelle's going to SummerSlam. So, dude, Bayley does a sunset bomb, sending Lyra into the steps, and then she applies the Bayley statement onto Lyra, kicks off the rope into the middle, allowing Lyra to roll out into the Night Doctor Bomb, and hits the Nightwing to win in 20 minutes. move calling aside, I thought this was a great match that these two had. Really, really strong. I'm never the biggest proponent of 2 out of 3 falls matches, especially on WWE television, where they tend to just rush so much. But they rushed the first one, but the second and especially the third, they got plenty of time. And this was just a great, great match that these two had.
I didn't mind the 2 out of 3 falls stip. I also think that these two would have just had a great match regardless of that stipulation. I thought this match was awesome. You know, it's like these two had a great match with Becky at Evolution. And it's almost like, you know, they were like, we had such a great match that Io and Rhea is getting all this treatment for the, you know, their match being billed as this legendary match. And it's almost like these two decided to take that attention back because they just worked their asses off to make this match outstanding.
Yeah. I thought that Evolution match was great. I thought very highly of that three-way. To the point that after this, I was almost wishing they had just done Becky and Bayley last night, and this three-way would be the SummerSlam match because, anyway, they're going with Lyra and Becky once again at SummerSlam.
But I'm sure Lyra
these
and Becky,
three, they just have a real great chemistry together, and this was a solid match on Raw.
Yeah, I was very intrigued in this scenario to see Lyra booked so hard as a babyface for the majority of the match. She was the first to take a fall. She worked with an injury for most of the match that she eventually had to overcome. Bayley is taking advantage of the injury. Lyra is getting all of these like desperation pins, and to that end, I thought Lyra is like selling and just positioning as an
especially
underdog.
Back. Yeah,
she was great. But it all makes sense when you consider that she's going to enter the Becky match as the baby face, right? You know, so I did find it maybe a little bit abrupt, but I also think that I think they've done a good job of keeping her sort of like in this warm tweener role where she would never fully turn. She was just like angry at the misunderstanding and being overlooked by these other two. So she's kind of carrying a bit more of an aggressive edge with her into this Becky match the next round, and I'm curious to see what the results are. I think she's done such a great job with all of her performances in and out of the ring, and I'm happy to see that she's been kept as a focal point in the sort of IC title discussion despite losing it.
And they've pulled out this story now with Bayley, where she's been constantly losing, that I feel was brought up for a reason. And the fact that she said, I need to win this match, that there's probably a story coming out of this with Bayley as well. But she was out, Lyra's in the ring, and out walks Becky Hogan in the red and yellow. And she has been obviously leaning into this nickname that has taken off, that Becky has refuted being.
Has she actually leaned into it?
Well, she wore the red and yellow here. I took this as a pretty strong leaning into.
You're probably right about that.
I don't think this was a coincidence.
Okay.
Jackie is with Stephanie Vaquer, who came here to become a champion, and she's got the title shot at Clash in Paris. Secret Hervis enters with Green thinking that I should be representing WWE in Paris. It's like, are they sending, is this going to be a one-match PLE that Paris gets?
In a championship fight, I guess, you're more of a representative.
She says, you call yourself La Primavera. I think that means loser. Was this more or less offensive than the foreigner line? This is not a good night for non-English
thing
speaking.
Is, she's supposed to be an idiot. You know, so
La Primavera.
it's more of a Santino type of mistake, I think.
So Niven and Fire block Vaquer from getting at Green, and Green says, I've got a Hall of Famer to face tonight, and you can look, but you can't touch, as Nikki Bella would be in action against Chelsea momentarily.
Yeah, no explanation of like SmackDown talent being on Raw, but who cares? Like at this point,
I'm sorry, but who are the SmackDown talent? Are all of them SmackDown talent?
It's Chelsea and the Secret Service.
Oh, okay. Stephanie is Raw.
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
I would fail this test so badly if you asked me where is LA Knight supposed to be. I do not know.
This regime started off like maybe trying to take it a bit seriously, and even they too realized like, fuck it. Like, you know, it's been 20
they
years.
They shouldn't.
Like,
I don't care about this. If you need people on Raw, put them on Raw. If you need them on SmackDown for a week, put them on SmackDown. I do not care. Sammy, Killer Cross and Scarlett have a vignette calling themselves your favorite bad guys and asks where Sami Zayn is. Cross thinks he's a liar, stating that he's hurt, and he gives Zayn an ultimatum to stay at home until you're ready to tell the truth that I told the truth. And Cole just quickly says, well, the truth is Sami Zayn is hurt. So last thing anyone wants.
Maybe he was
maybe
he was mistaken his storylines.
Yes. Yeah. Is he really hurt?
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Nikki Bella against Chelsea Green. This is Nikki's first singles match since 2018. So Green cheap shots are early on. Nikki manages a tilt-a-whirl head scissors, and there's clotheslines by Nikki, kicks off the buckle for a two count. The unprettier gets countered with a Bella Buster, and Niven distracts the referee. Fire goes after Nikki, who gets thwarted by Nikki, sends her down, and then Green's going for the unprettier, and Nikki goes to counter it and just had her timing off here and had a hell of a time trying to lift up Chelsea onto her shoulders. So Chelsea tries to improvise by like throwing elbows, and then Nikki finally gets her up and just with all the might in the world tried to deliver this rack attack 2.0, which is a TKO, and wins in 6 minutes and 23 seconds.
Yeah, it looked like she was going for like an inverted fireman's carry at one point. And I'm trying to remember what exactly was the rack attack 2.0. Was it?
Well, the first one was she would put her up and go down on the knees, but she had to change that because of the neck issue. So
yeah, so which one was the inverted fireman's carry? Anyway, whatever, leave a comment, let us know. But it looked like she was going for one, then Chelsea kind of repositioned them into another. That was a bit messy, unfortunately. And I also think it was also unfortunate that they had to follow Lyra Valkyria versus Bayley, because unfortunately, listen, like I think we should be giving a lot of credit for Nikki Bella coming back after like the long layoff and still like managing a good, I would say competent singles match here on Raw.
It was fine up until the ending.
But the standard is so high now that this match did really feel like it was from 10 years ago and maybe even more. And I don't even say that as like a strictly Nikki thing. Chelsea is just also not the type of performer that I think, you know, her strengths are not the in-ring, right? And so what makes Chelsea stand out is the personality stuff. And I even didn't necessarily think that was strong enough here. I was also disappointed by the lack of build and fanfare prior to this. I mean, Nikki has had promo time ahead of Evolution, but this being her first singles match on this show, I would have at the very least expected a promo, you know, something to make this feel a lot more special than it was, to engage the crowd. And without that, without, you know, this being a higher quality in-ring performance in comparison to the great women's wrestling we've seen over the past 24 hours, I thought this was lacking on the show.
Well, afterwards, the Secret Hervis go after Nikki. They're attacking her. And then we get the big save as running down to save her. It's La Primavera herself to make the big save with Nikki. And she takes out the Secret Hervis. And we get Nikki and Stephanie hugging one another, holding up each other's arms, maybe becoming the number one contenders for the tag title.
Stephanie Vaquay, right?
I am convinced the only reason they decided to pair these two on screen is because of that flub. Like, there's no other reason to expect.
Do you need a better reason than that?
No, not at all. Like, but there's no other reason to expect any sort of chemistry between these two. It makes zero sense.
Imagine if we got like a digital like video where it's like afterwards Stephanie calling her on the phone and explaining it's Vacare and Nikki, I'm so sorry, and they show the podcast clip of Nikki explaining it and we get a whole backstory of how we got here.
Suddenly they're best friends. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see
Nikki
story.
If Nikki is like sticking around, she should be in a tag scenario. I think that is probably the best place for her, whether it's long term that they eventually do the reunion with Brie. But in the interim here, like Vacare is kind of just on ice until this build up after SummerSlam to the Paris show, that you could do some tag matches with these two. You just have to find teams to face them.
Yeah, I guess so. To me, it's just such an odd pairing, you know. And I guess this might diminish whatever like discussion that Brie Bella may be making a return. So I just think Vakir and Nikki are just such an odd pairing. But you know, WWE loves their odd pairings. Maybe they can go to a salon and you know,
Nikki can attack her next week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's see what happens here. As a way to promote Vakir to a bigger audience, because Nikki, you know, is that tie to the Today Show and like Dancing with the, well, like whatever, like any of those like Bar Rescue, whatever types of shows she's on, to promote Vakir to a bigger audience, I think it makes sense.
Maybe she'll be on the podcast.
Yeah, if she hasn't already, yeah.
Adam Pearce, speaking of thriving tag divisions, is with the New Day, who are still mourning the death of the men's tag division, with Grayson Waller, who we had no Austin Theory on this show. It was just Grayson Waller. And I mean, these two have just fallen into oblivion. Grayson Waller is like their handler. Like he's just there as like the third wheel here for the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his role is.
I feel like a lot of this has probably been told like in the Netflix commercial breaks, you know? So I don't watch those. So I feel like I'm kind of lost on all of this.
Well, they want a rematch. Waller's got he serves up a platter of toupees for Adam Pearce. I'm not making this up. All for Pearce to give the line of what I'm going to split your wig. Anyway,
I don't know, dude. Who cares?
There's going to be a match next week to determine the number one contenders, and I don't know who will be in this.
Okay.
He left the scene. I wish I could have, too. And he walks up to the Judgment Day, sees that Dom is doing a lot better after he got involved in the women's tag, and said that he called WWE Medical, and he's going to be reevaluated next week. And if he's cleared, he'll defend the title against AJ Styles at SummerSlam. And Dom turns around, and there is AJ praying to God, and he's still got his eyes on Dom. So they're definitely having some fun with AJ. And this guy is doing like, this is like an easy day's work of his demands. I'm sure he rather would be doing this than, you know, doing springboard 450s.
You're telling me I could cash the same check by doing this as...
Hell God. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I don't have to even get in an ice bath before I do something like this. Hell yeah. Sign me up. I'm liking this Uncle Alan character from AJ. I think each week he's been doing something funny and creative, and it's worked well, especially against Dominic.
It's been a nice little departure for AJ. So yeah, that's worked. And this also complete the first 90 minutes of this show. It was all the women on the mm-hmm. show, from the matches, the opening segment. Yeah. So it was
good follow-up to Evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Jackie interviews Rusev to go over his win from several weeks ago over Sheamus, and dude's just dropping bars here. People call me God, but maybe I'm just a saint killing off Irish snakes. I'm better, I'm tougher, and I'm superior than him. And Sheamus walks in there. Well, easy there, Saint Patrick. And they're going to have a rematch. When? Where? Don't know.
Several weeks.
Anytime.
Eventually.
Could be wherever.
Yeah, these two, I mean, they had a good match a few weeks ago, but it certainly didn't attract any sort of like sustained discussion or momentum coming out of it. And I'm kind of curious to see how they could improve on that.
They'll have to have enough matches before they become a team.
Sure. The Carmelo... what is it? Andrade route?
Yes.
Wait, they never teamed up. We're thinking Sheamus and Cesaro.
Oh, yeah, after their best of seven. Well, maybe we'll get an extended run here. Randy Orton and Jelly Roll will be on Jimmy Kimmel this Wednesday.
Yeah, Kimmel's off for the summer, so Jelly Roll is actually hosting.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So Jelly Roll will be talking to Randy Orton.
Okay.
On Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, maybe that'll be fun. Don't know what they're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Did you hear Randy Orton wants to be a Batman in the new DCU. I was like, that's not going to happen. Like, there's no chance of that happening. Like, maybe it's like, I'd like to be in the film. I think they start filming next year at the beginning of the year. Like, maybe you could be like a random like henchman, but you're not going to be Batman. So I don't know what you're.
I think that ship has sailed, man.
Yeah,
Like, I guess, like, Bruce Wayne under a mask, like, Bruce Wayne could be various ages, but I don't know if Bruce Wayne, like, he's gonna have to, well, maybe he doesn't have to slim down, I don't know. He would look ridiculous the size he is in a Batman suit. I want to see it. Maybe, he could definitely get a role in Street Fighter, okay, if you want one.
Well, I mean, at this point, I just turned down a role in Street Fighter. Gunther comes out. He's in a great mood after retiring Bill Goldberg. They start chanting for Goldberg, but he says, he's not showing up. I promised to bully him, embarrass him, and blow him up, and I did. The crowd is chanting, you tapped out, and someone was very trigger happy here. They started censoring the you tapped out chant. I don't know what they thought they were chanting at him, but this was a very tame chant.
We, we can't be saying tap anymore in front of children.
Well, no. Then Gunther says, I have one question left. Who's next? And he says that five of the finest wrestlers will compete for my amusement. And he gets cut off by Bron Breakker coming out with Paul Heyman. Heyman extends his hand to Gunther and goes to do his introduction to Braun, but Gunther cuts him off, says, Paul, I am aware of what your name is. I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say, and I'm now going to leave. And Braun stands in his way, and Heyman goes on to explain that Braun is going to run the gauntlet, beat Gunther at SummerSlam. He says that you've never been speared until you've been speared by Breakker. Braun is the next big thing, the big dog. This is his yard, and he's a Steiner who doesn't subscribe to that surname any longer and says that, Gunther, he's going to break your ass.
Yes, that's why he calls himself Bron Breakker. He likes breaking asses.
Yeah, I'm going to break your ass.
Put that on a t-shirt, and I will buy one for John Pollock.
Yes, that would go along with that APA shirt that they had for a while.
With Heyman now, like, solely focusing on Breakker as a main act, you know, in light of this Rollins thing, I think it feels way more fitting than him accompanying Rollins, who's already
very well here.
Yeah, Rollins is already so established as a talker on his own right now, but, like, Breakker is somebody who's just on the come up and could really benefit from having that sort of mouthpiece. So this really does feel like it's a winning combination.
Well, that should be the long term, is one of them going babyface. And I'd prefer, actually, that Braun stay with Heyman. Like, I think he should be the heel when you do that breakup eventually. And I don't think this group should be together for a long time. Like, I would be looking at this as something in, 9 months, if not, in that period. So we start the gauntlet, Braun, Breakker, and Penta. Braun stops the pinfall to do push-ups, and then a spear gets stopped by a super kick. Braun catches him with a flying knee, and then Penta comes off the middle rope into a spear in midair, and Penta's dead for the three count. Great-looking finish.
Sucks for Penta. I mean, he's kind of just settled in his place on his roster, but, I mean, they're just more compelling people to push right now, and Breakker, unfortunately, or fortunately, is one of them. And that spear, midair spear, always looks amazing.
Yeah. And I did like the Hominick spot, too, that we had in there.
Our push-ups exclusively are Mark Hominick thing.
For sure. Braun Breakker in LA Knight. There's things I do that are strictly for your enjoyment.
I mean, I think Brandon from New Jersey would love that, too.
Oh, he's on the floor at this moment. It's G1 Climax season, and that means the Post Wrestling Cafe has you covered with podcasts covering every single tournament match. Plus, Rewind Away goes back to review the best of the WWF Volume 16. We'll also have reviews of UFC 318, TNA Slammiversary, a special Ask Away edition, and of course, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, ad-free with the news of the week and your feedback. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com. Braun Breakker and LA Knight was next. Knight wraps the arm around the post, and then Braun just destroys him during the commercial break, runs the ribs into the post, has a body lock applied, and then the BFT is stopped. Braun goes for the Frankensteiner, and LA Knight turns it into a powerbomb counter. It's a Nightwing by the LA Nightwing, and two count by Knight. Then there's a gutbuster to the ribs and another spear by Braun to pin LA Knight. So I really like just the continuation using the spear as well on this. And it was, this was a great kind of utilization of Braun throughout this very lengthy match where he ran from right from the beginning of it. Jey Uso is next. He comes out, delivers a suicide dive, then he restarts the theme, which Corey criticizes as him overlooking Braun. There were cutaways throughout this to Gunther who looked like he was sitting through a three-hour SmackDown. Like, that was me most Fridays at 9:13 p.m. Like, he just looked like he had anywhere to be but here waiting.
I mean, I think the director was probably look unimpressed at the competition. And if you...
Well, he did. He accomplished that.
If you were to interpret that as boredom, maybe that was something that they could have changed with the direction. Yeah.
So there's a Breakensteiner by Braun, and then he goes for the spear, is stopped with super kicks, and Jey hits his own spear for a two count, goes for the Uso splash, but Bronson Reed appears and stops him. Michael Cole explains there are no DQs in this gauntlet match. Why?
Because if somebody is DQ'd, then who wins? And you're robbing the opportunity of the person who's yet to come out, right? Or the people who have yet to come out.
The person that you are penalized.
Okay, so then what's to stop somebody from intentionally getting DQ'd? Like, okay, Penta versus Braun Breaker. What's to stop Bronson Reed from attacking Braun Breaker to give Braun the win?
What's to stop me from getting five people to just jump my opponent during each fall?
Well, nothing. Nothing is stopping that. And that is the same thing you could say about any sort of multi-person match with more than two people.
I mean, this is kind of just the logic of any match. You could do all of this in any match.
Yeah, yeah. Every triple threat is a...
Why don't we eliminate DQs all unilaterally?
Some promotions have done that. Yeah, maybe there's an argument to be had.
So Jey is gone after this... how did it end here? Braun spears him. So third spear in a row.
Bronson Reed and then spear. Yeah.
A lot of bronze here. So CM Punk is the fifth one out. He's in Bret Hart season with his colors and goes after Braun. He's got the jacket on. He won't even take the jacket off as he hits a bulldog. So checking off all the Hart members here.
Okay. Jacket and the bulldog. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Punk then leaps onto Braun on the desk and Braun takes over and he's looking into the camera. What time is it, Stu? Is it clobbering time? So Braun's going through the Hart family members too. We got Brett's colors, a bulldog, and we got Stu mentioned here.
Oh my God! Yes. Okay.
It's a long night. Okay.
Is
folks?
Stu when are we going to get the sort of video package about Stu? Okay.
Cena's retirement. He's going to put the camera on Stu.
Ooh, I love it.
That's going to be the final one. We're finally going to see Stu run down
the ramp.
Yeah, and then he trips. Yeah, that's how Cena does his send-off.
Wow.
Braun hits him with a break, goes for the Breakensteiner, but it's turned into a sunset roll-up. Punk's on top. Then Reed gets involved and stops him. Punk lands the elbow off the top into the Anaconda Vice. Reed breaks up the cover. So we're now in a handicap gauntlet match. Maybe Reed can go to SummerSlam. He sets up for the tsunami when Jey comes back. Just does everyone come out? And he attacks Reed, takes him out of the fray, and Braun's spear gets stopped with a kick and a GTS as Punk pins Braun. Braun ends up going 41 minutes and 18 seconds for this gauntlet match. And Punk won this thing in like 8 minutes. So he will now challenge Gunther at SummerSlam.
Yeah, usually like that sort of contrast is reserved for like different people in different roles. The person doing the Iron Man typically is the baby face, and the person coming in and getting the easy win is like the perfect thing for the heel. But in this scenario, CM Punk trumps all, and the crowd loves CM Punk.
No,
right?
We're not sending Phil out for 41 minutes when he needs to headline a stadium show. So we're going to do it. But Braun was the star of this. I think there's been much better gauntlet matches WWE have done. I thought Braun was, you know, easily.
Oh, my God.
He was the best part of this. I didn't think any of the matches were blow away, but it was the performance of Braun that was... He was the guy you'd want to have in this for the 41 minutes.
But by design, this entire thing was meant to promote Braun by giving him this Iron Man spot. And I think it looked like he barely needed to use his tank at all. Like it felt like we were just barely scratching the surface of like what this guy's cardio limit will be. So he's just a next level athlete and garnered a great reaction, and I think ended every single match with like a very significant reaction because of those great looking spears.
I just wish we got a spot where he put on cowboy boots and stood on top of Vince McMahon so we get a Bruce Hart spot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Punk signals for the belt, looking up at Gunther, who's probably just looking at his watch. He's got to get out of here. And Reed comes and attacks. Jay comes back. Braun then spears Jay. The whole place is chanting OTC, and they go to stack Jay and Punk for a tsunami when Roman Reigns makes his return. OTC one. And he comes in. He lays out everybody. Superman punch to Reed. Superman punch to Braun. And then a spear to Reed helps Jay up to his feet, gives Punk a look, and the three are standing there as the whole crowd sings for Roman Reigns in his first appearance since the night after WrestleMania, and it's obviously setting us up towards his return match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I thought this was a great conclusion to the show. You know, these infrequent appearances have really continued to make Roman feel very special. He still feels like a main character, despite not being a champion for quite some time now. I love his effortless, like, double leg on Braun. I don't know if you got to see it. It just felt like, wow, like, what was that? Where did that come from? And what do you think is the direction here for SummerSlam for Roman?
I mean, you certainly came out of this with the idea of, like, they could do the tag match, but I'm also looking at the fact that there are two nights of SummerSlam, and, I mean, you did have Jay specifically target Bronson for his run-in. Like, I would love to see Roman and Braun. It's like they've almost built up Braun so much that I feel for SummerSlam, Reigns and Braun is the play.
I'm feeling more tag match. I'm feeling more tag team myself because I think Jay needs a role, and Jay versus Reed just doesn't feel big enough. I also think, like, the story potential of just Jay and Roman in a tag team together again is a big deal. Yes, I know they did War Games together, but, like, I think there's still so much, like, ice to be thawed between the two that I think it would make for pretty compelling television. And again, forget SmackDown, forget Raw, forget these lines. We're in SummerSlam
Was Roman drafted tonight?
Yeah.
Pierce signed him.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
Signed him at midnight.
Breaker versus Roman is going to be massive at some point. And I could see that, you know, being SummerSlam if that's the direction they wanted to. But I could also see them wanting to pace it and save that for a bigger or a different show later on.
So there you go. That was Raw. I thought it overall, like, a very good follow-up show to the weekend's events that they held. And, you know, they kind of have to jettison a lot to get ready for SummerSlam. But I would say the show is shaping up pretty well. It was a good return with Roman. I thought that the 2 out of 3 falls match was excellent. Braun Breaker was tremendous on the show as well. And yeah, those would be the high points of the show.
I quite enjoyed Raw. I thought it was a great follow-up to the weekend. In particular, Evolution, which I think they managed to make feel like it was like a very strong show. Naomi sounded great. And you got a Roman Reigns return here to close the night, which I think made the show just feel that much more relevant. Do you want to go through, like, what's been announced so far for SummerSlam? Because they've got 6 matches already. I mean, across 2 nights, but they do have 6.
Why don't you read them off if you've got them in front of you?
Well, we've got, of course, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship. We have Jade Cargill, who won the Queen of the Ring, taking on Tiffany Stratton for the Women's Championship over at SmackDown. We've got the tag team match with Jelly Roll and Randy Orton, RK Roll, versus McIntyre and Paul. Do we have a catchy name for them?
I've got to work on it.
Send us your best, please. Gunther versus CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship. Naomi versus Rhea Ripley and Io Sky for the Women's World Championship. And then we've got Becky Lynch versus Lyra Valkyria for the Intercontinental Championship. So a lot already.
They're teasing Dominic and AJ. I think that's probably earmarked for the show as well. And I guess the rest, I mean, those
Raquel
are...
and Rhea, sorry, Raquel and Roxanne, maybe defending against who?
If you can get the flashlight out and find a team, you could put that together. I mean, what are you expecting, like, number of matches per night? Are you expecting just 2 normal PLEs, like 5 matches per night, like that?
What was interesting about Evolution is that it was a 7-match card. Card that they managed to fit into like 3 hours and change. And I thought the pacing of that was great, you know, and I thought it was like a very satisfying experience for SummerSlam. I could see that number. As a comparison point, it's always good to maybe go back to previous years and see what they did. Let's see, SummerSlam last year was 7 matches. So I think that might be the ballpark that I would assume.
You also have the U.S. title. Right. So probably something with Solo and Jacob Fatu. I mean, they're doing that story as well. that could be in there. So, I mean, like, you can see, like, you know, a pretty close to full card. I mean, the key stuff is the Cena-Cody match. You've now got the Gunther match set up. Roman Reigns is going to be on the show. You've got your celebrity tie-in. You've got two women's title matches set up. Like, you've got pretty much the whole structure of the card.
Like, all the big names are accounted for.
You pretty much have all the money matches.
Charlotte, Alexa, likely doing something.
Yeah, which
tag team. Maybe that's it.
I would keep those two together coming off of Evolution. Like, I would, I thought it would just be a quick thing and they'd get to a feud or something. But man, I would not be ending that so quickly, despite the crazy depth of this tag. Like, maybe they can win. Maybe they get the shot against Raquel and
we've also
Roxanne.
Got Stephanie Vaquer and Nikki Bella as the new number one contenders on the Raw side of things.
Vaquer could possibly get into
Vaquella.
Okay, well,
no,
we got to work on some of these names.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, everyone, that was Raw, and we're going to say goodbye on the YouTube channel, but do want to remind everybody that if you are considering jumping on board postwrestlingcafe.com, the next month we're going to be stacked with shows covering all of the G1 shows, in addition to shows like the Ask Away Mailbag show that is coming out this Thursday. Of course, Collision Course, dropping every week, is back on Saturday this week, and make your way on over to postwrestling.com/G1. Get your picks in by Thursday at midnight Eastern, and you can be part of the ride for the next month. See how well your picks can do. Can you do a better job than Ghetto with the G1 this year?
Can you beat me? All right.
Can you beat Wei Ting, which is a triumph in and of itself? If you can,
I beat Randall? Is the question I want.
Yeah, I think Wei did some sizable booking over the last 24 hours. I think he has a whole chart on his wall going through every scenario and potential arguments in favor, against, of every match.
So you are releasing a preview with Bruce Lord when?
Yes, that will drop free on the feed for everyone on Thursday. Myself and Bruce Lord, we will do a whole preview of the G1, and then the G1 podcast will be part of your cafe subscription. So consider jumping on board and check out the whole schedule up on the site. A lot of big shows coming up this week. Wellness Policy tomorrow with Wei Ting. So goodbye, YouTube. It was nice knowing you.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.